Hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead and get into today's message. We started a series, and really, as we start in December, everybody's thinking about Christmas, and, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about having a Jesus-focused Christmas, and that's really what we want to do. Today, I'm going to be speaking specifically about joy. But I'm kind of give a little bit of background of where we've been. We're at the end of the year, almost, but I wanted to share some things that as a church we can have joy about. Because it's not just me. I have people say, oh, well, your church. It's not my church. First of all, it's his church, and then it's all of ours church. Amen? It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to us personally. It belongs to Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build whose church? My church. He's saying, I'm going to build my church. So it's him. But guess what? Each one of you are part of it. And what you do and what you give and how you serve, all of that matters. So I wanted to share just a little bit. Over our past year, we had a great Easter. Obviously, like every church in California, we've had this past year several families that have moved out of state. I don't know why they would want to do that. Because how many of you realize this is where Jesus needs to be? If everybody runs out of the state, then where? If all the Christians leave, what are we leaving here? Amen. And so we're here to shine Jesus. So we started in June, and I'm just saying this. We were doing other things, but I just want to recap it back then. How many of you remember getting the book Ignite Your Life? We bought like 90 of them. I still have a few of them. If you didn't get one, let me know, and I will make sure. I think we've got like two or three of them. What's been great about it is that he shares and really ignites us sharing a passion to share our faith. And there have been so many different stories, opportunities. We've had people saying that, you know, I was able to share the Lord with my neighbor. People have come to the Lord as a result of that because it stirred us to the point. And even if they didn't come to the Lord, how many of you know every opportunity that you have to present Jesus, and that was the whole motto, move everyone every day closer to Jesus. You're shining Jesus. Amen. God didn't call us to make everybody a Christian. He called us to share, to spread the seed. Amen. So after that, that's been a blessing and is an ongoing. One thing I want to show you about what we've done in missions this past year, as of last week, Freedom Church has given a total of $81,878. And when I say Freedom Church, I'm talking about all of you guys and all of you in the people in the first service. I want to break it down how that is actually looks like. We gave 21,100 in monthly commitments. Those missionaries that you see on the back wall back there are our monthly mission partners. As a matter of fact, we have one of the ones on the wall that are here with us today. And they're right here. So our son-in-law, our daughter, and our new grandbaby, they are 50-something percent of the way to raising their support. So I'm going to put a selfish plug in there. If you want to give to them or support them monthly, they had a goal this month to hit a certain amount. Listen, you can do that. You can designate it. But we were also able, because of your faithfulness, many of our missionaries, we were able to give a $500 Christmas bonus to. So we were able to do that for 10. And listen, not every church does that. As a matter of fact, very few of them do, but it's something that they can put and they can actually do a Christmas for themselves, because most missionaries live on a very tight budget. And then we were able to give $55,708 in special giving to different projects, some to individual missionaries got extra. If you were here at the beginning of the year, we had Good News India, a credible ministry. You guys were able to give $8,500 to that. Our missionaries that we have in the Ukraine got an additional $1,500 to help them minister to the people there. When the LA fires were going on and we gave to the Dream Center, almost $2,000 through that. And then just this past month, you guys have heard me, we did a project Church Under the Tree in Kenya, Africa. And you guys gave, really within about 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, $23,492. Amen. Let me just give a hand clap to you guys for being faithful in that. And here's some exciting news that you know, I don't know if it's a result of that, but I have the opportunity to be going to Kenya at the end of January with our district, and we're going to visit some of these churches. There's going to be like some training that we all get to be a part of going over there, and that trip for me, as a matter of fact, has almost been covered by some generous donors in this church. I'm only about $900 away from the whole thing being funded. I just want to say, you guys are so faithful. Those are things to rejoice over. Now, let me just say, I'm not done yet. If you guys remember last year, we started a campaign called the Good Campaign to get out of debt. Listen, as long as this church has ever been here, this building has never been paid off. And God put it on somebody's heart, said, listen, I want to match dollar for dollar anything that comes in over a year. And what came in over that year was $91,000and some change there. And so that individual doubled that, plus there was income or some other giving that came in. We were just short of $200,000 that went to pay this building off this year, on top of all of the money that came in for missions. Let me give you guys a hand clap again. How many of you know that's something to rejoice over? God is good. Now listen, it's not all about the money, because we were able to serve our first responders lunch a couple of months ago, and the fire departments, the sheriffs, the police, and we were able to give them a wonderful lunch and just to let them know how much they're appreciated. We had an outreach out at the airport. The props, cops, and rotters, some of you guys were out there at that. It was hot that day. How many of you remember it? Wasn't it hot? And then we also had our church in the park, which several people were baptized. Several people, there was an individual that saw that we were there online, has been wanting to get baptized, gave her life to the Lord. And guess what? She's like, can I be baptized too? I'm like, come on down. All right. And so it was a great day at the park. We do this every year at the end of August. God was merciful to us, and the weather worked this year. That's all I got to say. So, then we have our movie nights. I don't know how many people get saved at that, but that's just a fun time that we get to gather and build community. We had our Freedom Church on July, whatever the first Sunday is in July. Had a great message. People committed their life to the Lord. And then afterwards, there was always fun. How many of you know food? And the kids always love the bubbles. That's always a blast. I'm just zipping through these. We had our outreach at the fair. I mean, literally, the reason we can do this, because it costs several thousand dollars to get the prizes and to do that, but we literally meet thousands of people out at the fair. And we're just there to be a light and share Jesus. There were some people that were able to pray with people to receive Christ out at the fair, on top of other connections that were made. So all of those things are just exciting things that we can rejoice over. And then I'm just going to give the reminder, because it's almost full out there. How many of you remember David Falco? He built the cross. It had 50 light bulbs. And we said, you know what? For every person that gives their life to the Lord, whether it's first time or maybe just they've been away and they've recommitted their life to the Lord, we've got all but two light bulbs filled right now. How many of you know? That's 48 people. And listen, some of them were neighbors. Some of them were people that live. And it's like, if you were able to see somebody come to the Lord as a result of it, we put the light, not to pat ourselves on the back, but to give glory to God. Amen. Because I think sometimes people say, oh, well, you guys are kind of a small church. I've had people say, oh, you got a cute little church there. And it's like, I try not to be offended. But it's like, I want you to understand, Freedom Church is making a local and global impact in the world. Amen. We don't have to be a mega church to make a difference. And I think sometimes we get that idea, oh, yeah, we're just a little church. Listen, lives are being changed, not just here in the U.S. and in California, but around the globe. Amen. And so how about that for giving something to rejoice over? Amen. And let me just say, it's not too late to invite someone to the candlelight service. See them come in. All right, I'm going to jump into the message now. As my arm's tired of patting us all on the back. So we're in the third part of this series of Home for the Holiday, how to make the most of this season, and balancing everything by making sure Jesus is number one, because life is always trying to pull us left and right. Isn't that true? Especially in this season. Today I'm going to be focusing on great joy. Great joy. I talked about Peacemaker last week. If you missed it, it's online. The first week I talked about having a Jesus-focused Christmas. But I want to start out, you know, as Christmas is coming up, how many of you know this, that a lot of people, they just want their life to be like a Hallmark Christmas movie? Like the older ones, let me just put it that way. How many of you know, if you've ever watched one, anybody like watching some of those? Yeah, you guys aren't even afraid to admit it, so... That's amazing. Some of you guys didn't raise your hand, but you like watch it. You get up in the middle of the night, and you're like, I'm going to go watch that one. Merry Christmas Under the Mistletoe, or I don't know. They got crazy names, but how many of you realize Hallmark is a lie, right? Because in the Hallmark movies, how many of you know, on Christmas Day, all the miracles happen that day, right? All of the good, everything culminates. The proposal happens on Christmas morning. And it was amazing. You didn't think it was going to happen. Whatever conflict that was going on through the time, all of a sudden it is all resolved on Christmas Day. It's like, it's amazing, right? The miracle of Christmas really happens. How many of you realize, let's be honest, my life is not a Hallmark movie. Right? It's not a Hallmark movie. The problem with that is that Christmas may come and go, and the thing you really hope for, guess what? It didn't happen. Right? You wanted all the relationships, all the conflict to be resolved, and then the joy and the excitement dissipates. And the reality for, let's just let the rubber hit the road. For many people, this season is filled with anxiety, worry, fear, depression, and sometimes grief. Right? I wish it was all a Hallmark movie, right? And the things that you experience is furthest from joy. You're like, I wish I could have that joy. You know, the reality of what a lot of families, and I'm just going to, before I put this movie up here, because I want to say it's the edited version, because that's all we watch, is like, how many, what's that movie right there? Who knows? Yeah, or Christmas, yeah, Vacation, or what is that what it's called? Christmas Vacation? Yeah. Anyway, let me just say, watch the edited version. This is the reality. You guys remember, he wanted a pool. He thought for sure my bonus is going to be enough money to build a pool. I mean, that's a nice bonus, right? Especially in today's economy. But the reality, what he got was a Jelly of the Month Club subscription, right? And I think it was like his brother-in-law says, oh, yeah, that's the gift that keeps on giving, right? He wanted something bigger. Expectations were bigger. But how many of you know the reality is always far below that? It's way out. And I think a lot of people miss out thinking that, man, if I just had this and if I just had that, I would be satisfied. I would have joy. I would have fulfillment. But the reality is so many of us put our place our hope in the wrong thing. Isn't that true? It's like, oh man, I'm counting on my job to give that, and it doesn't happen. And so here's the, I guess my goal through this series that we've been going through is that you would have great joy, not just this holiday season, but I want you to experience the joy of the Lord all through 2026. Amen? Walk in that joy. That's the desire. So I'm going to look at the angels and the shepherds. It was a little bit different than the ones that were right here, but it's basically, this is what happened. There were shepherds living out in their field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were, wouldn't you be? You're just out there in the middle of the night, nothing happened, probably half asleep, and all of a sudden, these angels appear. But I love their response. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. He says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. Amen? And I love that. They bring good news. The good news, when you hear the word gospel, not everybody connects that. The gospel is simply good news. And how many of you guys like good news? Like if somebody calls and they got good news on the other end, you love that, right? But if you get a call at 2 a.m. from somebody, how many of you are like, oh, no, right? Why are they calling me like that? And then you answer, and they're like, oh, oops, I didn't mean to call you. And you're just like, I don't care. You know what? As long as it's not bad news. And I remember a call that we got probably a little over 9 months ago, and it was my daughter calling us. We were up here at work, and, you know, Timothy works here, and we were in the office, and she's like, "I just want to talk to you two," and we're like, "Oh, no, what's going on?" And so we came in here, nobody else was around, and she said, "We're pregnant." Right? And it's like, how many of you know that's great news? I still remember when Timothy and Stephanie told us about our first baby. We were playing a board game, and somehow, I can't remember how they did it, but they revealed to us that that Stephanie was pregnant, and we didn't believe it. Come on, anybody's like, nah, you do. And they're like, "We're serious." Isn't that true, Timothy? It took you a minute to convince us that that good news was actually good news. So once we accepted it, it was like, "Oh, that was awesome. That was in Chico, and then we moved here before she was born." So anyway, that had nothing to do with anything. But here's the thing. The angels showed up, and how many of you realize they gave the best news ever? Like, better than you could ever get. They said, "Today, this long-awaited Messiah that you have been waiting for, he's been born. Everybody in Israel has been waiting for this time, and the time is now." And that is good news. Why is it good news? It's because Jesus shows us we don't have the answer, we don't have the solution, and the reality is we cannot fix ourselves. How many of you have found that to be true? "I'm going to try to improve. I'm going to get better. That's why Jesus came, is to make us more like him. Amen. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. I love the fact that Christianity is the only religion on earth where you don't have to be good enough to make it to God. Amen. If I can just be a little bit better, if I can just, you know, do enough right things. Listen, Jesus knew, God knew, we could never be good enough to get to him, and so he came down to us. Amen. He came down, and he's the one that made the way. Anybody thankful for that good news? Amen. Amen. Can we just give him a hand clap? He is worthy. And so the angel said, "This is good news of great joys." Listen, the word "good," of great joy, great, it's extravagant. It's exceeding. It's large. He's not just saying, "Hey, listen, I got some big news for you." He's like, "I've got the biggest news you can ever imagine." And then it says, "of joy," which is delight. Listen, if you put these words, extravagant delight, extravagant gladness, exceeding gladness, that's the news that they came to announce to the world. And if you think about your past, how many of you, we've all had happy moments, isn't that true? You've had times where you're happy, but how many of you know happiness is a fleeting moment in time? It doesn't last, right? But that joy last, and I believe that great joy is what our world desires but can never find apart from Jesus. I'm searching, I'm looking. Listen, it's not found in, if you win the lottery, praise the Lord, make sure you pay your tithes. That's all I'm saying right there. But don't waste your money in it. How many of you know you're not going to find great joy in money? I mean, it might, "Oh yeah, I can buy this, I can buy," and I love family. I love the fact that we have our family, but how many of you know none of that is going to compare to the joy that you can have in Jesus? Amen. There's nothing on this earth that is going to bring that kind of joy. And so back to verse 10 and 11, the angel said, and I just highlighted good news, great joy for all people. How many of you know Jesus is not exclusive? It's not just for a certain few people. Nobody is excluded from experiencing the great joy. I love how the scripture, whoever comes. How many of you know the invitation is out to everybody? 2 Peter 3:9 says this, and just expounds on it. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient." Everybody say patient. Patient. "With you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God wants everyone. And I love, aren't you glad that God is patient with you? Yes. Amen. Anybody feel like, "Man, I've just stepped on God's last patience"? No, his mercies are new every morning. And so I am so thankful that God has been patient with me. He's been patient with you. And how many of you know those that have yet to come to the Lord, he is still patient with? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So I want to give you three things real quick today. And actually, I might have you out before the end. Surprise, surprise. Three things to how you can experience great joy. I mean, it is found in Jesus, but do you realize there are things that you can allow in your life that will sabotage the joy, even if you're a Christian? Do you realize that? Not every Christian is walking around with joy because they got their focus on the wrong thing. And so these are some practical things that you and I can do in our life to make sure we experience the great joy that Christ has given us, amen, that he purchased for us. So the first one, number one, is living a life of gratitude over grumbling. Boy, that got quiet. How many of you know miracles happened? God became flesh, dwelt among us. And if we're not careful, the awe and the excitement and the miracle of that can seem very small compared to the problems that you and I have in our life. Right? I magnify my problems. I'm looking at my problems, and it's like, well, Jesus came, and it's like, well, yay, but you know what? I got this, and I got that, and I got all of these things going on. How many of you know grumbling will take away your joy? And the fact is, I have found this to be true. I can go from being a person of gratitude to a person of grumbling real quick. Anybody with me? Like, you wake up in the morning, you got your nice coffee going on, and you're going, you know, I'm thankful for my kids, thankful for my grandkids, thankful for our church and all of you people. And then throughout the day, maybe around 1 o'clock, I meet one or two grumpy people. And how many of you know your day's ruined? Oh, yeah, that person, this, that, and the other, they cut me off in traffic, whatever it is. I believe the enemy's tactic is to try to steal your joy each and every day. Right. He wants to take it away from you. He wants you to focus more on the things that are wrong in your life rather than the things that are right. I mean, we can look at either one. Right? Focus on, you know, well, it's the end of 2025, and I didn't get what I wanted. I was expecting this. I expected this raise, expected to be out of debt, expected all of that. And you're focused on what didn't happen rather than what God did do in your life. Amen? And so your focus really matters. If you're focusing only on your problems rather than God's mercy and his goodness, then you're going to be grumbling. That's just the reality. And this is what I want you to understand. If God never did anything else for you, I don't know if that was good grammar or not. If God never does anything else for you other than what he did 2,000 years ago, how many of you know we should be forever grateful? Right? Because whatever this world throws at us, how many of you know you already won at life when you've accepted Jesus? We have eternity with him. And it's like the things of this earth are going to soon be passed. You know, the older I get, the more I realize how soon that soon is happening. How many of you are with me on that? And it's like, I'm okay. I may have to endure some stuff. I may have some problems. I may have some difficulties, but I got Jesus and I'm forever grateful. Amen. We have a reason to be. I love this verse out of Psalms 136. It says, give thanks to the Lord. And then it says, why? Why? For he is good and his love endures forever. You notice it doesn't say give thanks to the Lord because life is always good. Does it say that? It doesn't say give thanks to the Lord because you're always healthy. All right? How many of you be like, man, I guess I wouldn't give thanks to the Lord if it only depended on that. It doesn't say give thanks to the Lord because all the relationships in my life are good. Maybe they're not. As a matter of fact, you got a high probability of having family tension and relationships that are not great. So if only time I'm going to give thanks to the Lord is when all that's happening, you're not going to give thanks to the Lord, right? He doesn't say give thanks to the Lord because my bank account is topped out. Anybody there right now? Let me put my hand down. So no, it says thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love for us always endures. Even when we reject him, how many of you know God does not reject us? Amen. God understands that you and I, we're going to go through difficult seasons in this life. There's going to be times where, let's just be honest, life just isn't good. All right? It's not good right now. Relationships are not good. Bank accounts sometimes are not good. Don't raise your hand on that one, but I know. Listen, these things should never dictate our attitude of gratitude. Does that make sense? Just because those things are there, I still have to be grateful because God is good and his love endures forever. Amen? Aren't you a grateful people? What is it that hinders our gratitude? One word that can keep you from being grateful is entitlement. Isn't that true? Entitlement will keep you from being grateful. The moment, here's what entitlement says. I deserve this. I earned it. I'm owed this. This is what I should get. How many of you know that's an infection in our world today? All right, everybody, I get this. I deserve this. The government should provide this. We got all of these expectations of what everybody should do for us, and it ruins our joy. Well, I worked hard for this. You should treat me better than that because don't you know who I am? I deserve respect, and I'm not getting it. Listen, apart from grace, how many of you know we are entitled to nothing? It's true. I love, my old pastor from Colorado Springs, he used to say, I don't want what I deserve. He goes, if I got what I deserve, I would be front row center in hell. How many of you realize, we got to keep that perspective right there. We realize that everything, and I thank God, everything in my life that is good, I know it's because of God. Doesn't the scripture say every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above? And so I am so thankful, and when I'm not thankful, listen, every blessing I don't respond with praise, guess what? It results in pride. Amen. Oh, yeah, I did this, or I did that, or I accomplished this. That's why it's always a struggle. Let me just say, especially as a pastor, to write a resume to a church, because it's like, oh, well, tell me all the things that you've done, Well, I did this, that, and the other thing, and all of this stuff, and you're like, but, at the bottom, I just want to say, but it's all been by the grace of God. Because I couldn't have done anything. Doesn't Jesus say, apart from me, you can do nothing? And so what we are able to do and accomplish is simply by his grace. And because of that, I give him praise. Amen? Amen. Amen. So how else do I have great joy? Number two, and let me just say, this was hard for me to write out because I've been in this situation, being present over being preoccupied. Amen. Can I just say, if you want great joy, you got to learn to live in the moment that God has you at this moment. We can't constantly be looking forward. Oh, if I just had this, if I just got this raise, if I just got married, if I just had a kid, if I just had the kids out. How many of you know before you have kids, you can't wait till they get in and then, things change. We're always looking for that next thing. And you can't appreciate what you have at this particular moment. And it's like God's blessed you in these different moments. It may not be ideal, but nothing really ever is. But I will never enjoy the blessings that God has for that. Here's a statistic. It's not in your notes. But it says the average person spends 46.9% of their time thinking about something other than what they're doing at the present moment. Let that one sink in right there. How many of you know half of us, and see, so probably about half of us here, you're in the room, but you're not even in the room. Okay, think about it. Somebody's scrolling through their phone right now, like, oh yeah, I'm on Amazon. I got to get this gift for somebody. Will it be able to make it here in time? What did he say? What's my team scores doing? How are they at? Maybe figuring out, I'm trying to find me a good place to eat after we get out of this place. I'm just telling the truth. Come on. How many of you know this thing has caused us to live with, I think before cell phones, we could live distracted, but after cell phones, come on, let's be honest. It is over the top, and I'm guilty of it too, right? I'm not going to be up here and on my high horse, you guys are on your phone too much. The worst thing I get is whenever I get a message about my screen time. Anybody like, oh my gosh, I was on my phone that much? I mean, if you're on the Bible, I was on the Bible and I was watching sermons on YouTube. That's why it was so high, right? Come on, let's just get spiritual here, right? If that's the case, then here's the thing. We're half present half of the time, which means we're half of what, we miss half of what's going on in our life. All right, I can do this and listen at the same time, but you're only going to get half of it. I mean, there's times, let's be honest, we got a movie or something on TV, I'm playing a little game on my phone, and I totally missed half of what was going on. I'm like, oh, wait, what happened? She's like, weren't you watching? Well, yeah, I was watching, halfway. So that's a story of our life, not living, not appreciating the moments that God has for us. And I love this quote by Jim Elliot. He was a missionary, died as a martyr, but it's a great quote, wherever you are, be all there. Isn't that good? be all there. If you're going to be there, so that's my desire as we enter into 2026. Lord, help me to be wherever I'm at and appreciate the moments that are going on. Because I believe that when you're all there, that's when God wants to speak to you. Like maybe you're like, well, God, you know, I haven't heard you speak to me. And it's like, well, I tried to, but you were playing Candy Crush or whatever it was. Right? You weren't there in the moment. God wants to challenge us. I believe that God wants to encourage us when but we're so preoccupied so many times. Like, remember, I love this. Mary and Martha, remember when Jesus came to their house and Martha was all, you know, Mary was like being lazy, but Martha was actually being working and doing something. I wanted to read this out of the Passion Version. It's in Luke chapter 10. And it says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village, and it just says, it's talking about one, welcomed Jesus into her home, and her name was Martha. So Martha is the one that welcomed Jesus into their home, and then kind of a little side note, and she had a sister named Mary. And now look what it says, and Mary sat down attentively before the master, absorbing in every revelation shared. Check it out. But Martha, everybody say, but Martha. Martha, 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 right? Became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores and preparation for her guests. So here's the one. The one that invited Jesus in is now interrupting Jesus, right? How many of you know something's wrong here? And she's like, she's complaining, right? She doesn't have gratitude. She's grumbling. Here it is right here. Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all this work by myself? You need to scold her, right? Tell her to get off her backside and help me, right? That's what she's basically saying. And then I love Jesus' response to her. He says, the Lord answered, Martha, my beloved Martha. Isn't that a term of endearment? How many of you know there's another example of God's mercy and God's patience with her? He's like, Martha, quit your complaining, right? No, he's like, Martha, my beloved, why are you so upset and troubled? Pulled away by all these many distractions. Isn't that true in our life? We get pulled away from what God wants. And he says, are they really that important? Are the things that we think are so important, are they really that important? And I love this. Mary has discovered the one thing that is most important. And by choosing to sit at my feet, I love this, she is undistracted and I will not take that privilege from her. I'm just like, Lord, help me to live an undistracted life. I don't want to get caught up in the stuff. You know, Psalms 90 basically tells us, teach us to number our days, all right? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. And how many of you know he's not saying, you know, count, oh, well, okay, I'm living my life, you know, our granddaughter, day 31, you know, she's 31, okay, number 32, the next, how many of you know he's not saying that? He's saying, make sure that each day counts. Make sure that each day counts. I love it out of the New Living Translation. It says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. When we realize we only have a certain number of days, how many of you know we're going to cherish those days more than, you know, you think, oh, I got forever, you know, I'm only whatever, 21 years old. And it's like, we don't know. We only have a certain number of days. Teach us to count those days. God has given us those days. And I'll tell you, some of us are missing out. You're missing out on the moments, maybe when your kids are young. Maybe if you're single and you're missing out, like, well, I want to be single. Well, you know what? There's a blessing in it that you may not realize, and try to find peace and gratitude in that. Maybe working, I got to go to work. How many of you are thankful you actually got a job? And it's like, man, I hate my job. Yeah, but I hate being homeless more. Come on, am I telling the truth? You know, whatever, maybe you're retired and it's like, you know what, your body's not working like it should, but you know what, thank God for his provision. You know, we got to learn to put this thing down, embrace the moment God has, because this is the truth. Time is measured in minutes, but I believe life is measured in moments. The moments that God has for you, we need to learn, and you're going to be rejoicing every time you see those moments, amen? We don't want to miss out on the moment God has for us right now, this day, 2025. No, well, I can't wait. What's going to go on in 2026? Don't worry about that yet. You're still in 2025. Amen. The shepherds recognized the moment God had for them, and they experienced, the scripture says, great joy. That's why I do love about our Christmas Eve service. You know, I have on some of these chats with other pastors, and one of these pastors actually put on there, I'm thinking of starting a candlelight service, and you would not believe how many people responded. Other pastors, oh, don't do it, because then you'll never get that day back. And it was like almost kind of a selfish thing, like you know what, I'm giving the church whatever little bit I can. Listen, that is a moment. Here's what I love about the candlelight service. We're here, yes, we're worshiping, but you know the moment when everybody lights the candle and it's symbolic of the light spreading to us and all the lights are down. I don't want to just like blow that thing out and let's move on. I like just kind of looking around and savoring that moment. And just say, Lord, I love your presence, because there's such a presence of the Lord that is in that. And you know, and it's a time that we can stop the distraction before the chaos of Christmas morning happens, and to focus on who is most important. Amen? Amen. So how do I experience great joy? Choosing gratitude over grumbling, being present. And number three, I'm almost done, Savior, choosing our Savior over ourselves. Here's a newsflash. Life is not about you. It's about Jesus. Our culture says, oh, no, it's all about you. You got to look out for number one. You got to take care of yourself, because nobody else is going to take care of you. That's what our world, and so to put Jesus first is really countercultural. There's people that say, well, I love God, but Jesus is not number one. I've got to take care of me. You know, I got to take care of my family. And then if I have time, I'll do something with Jesus. How many of you know that's flipped upside down? Because it's not about us. We die to ourselves. That's what the scripture says. Just look at the shepherds. I love this again. It says, when the angel had left them, gone into heaven, the shepherds said, hey, listen, let's wait until the next shift, and then we can go see what's going on. Did they do that? No, they're like, hey, let's go. What about the sheep? I don't know. I guess they'll take care of themselves, right? I mean, if a wolf does come, he can't eat all of them. So most of them will be here when we get back. Let's go. Okay, I'm adding a little bit right there. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And I love that they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. They couldn't wait to get going. They wanted to find out. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted this encounter that these angels just told them about. And then I love what they did after. After they met Jesus, the Messiah, and worshiped him, look what they went on to do. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. They're like, we can't keep this news to ourselves. We got to go tell everybody. I got brothers and sisters and family and cousins and, you know, whoever. We got to tell them that the Messiah is here. He's only a baby right now. What a beautiful picture of what we're supposed to do. Amen. When they heard about it, they went out immediately. They found Jesus. It's a matter of putting Jesus first, and then they wanted to share with others. And it's the old acronym. Maybe some of you guys have heard it. It's joy. How do you have joy in your life? You got to put Jesus number one. Amen? He's got to be first. You begin to put others ahead of yourself. And then guess what? You're last. And what I have found, and maybe you have too, is that if I have these two in the right order, Jesus takes care of this one right here. Isn't that true? It's like, well, what about me? Well, listen, I'm doing seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added. You love others as you do yourself. It's just an awesome thing, and you spread the word everywhere you go. And by the way, that's why we do our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Like I said, it's not just about, you know what, we're going to do this religious. Listen, we've been doing this for 30 plus years. And I think we missed it one time. And let me just say, that was a rough year, the one year we missed it. And it's just a time of recalibrating our life back to Jesus, because all of us get out of alignment. Isn't that true? How many of you drive a car and sometimes it needs an alignment? Can I tell you, this is a yearly alignment. Sometimes you may need it more, but it's like, Lord, I just want to refocus on you. I love what Paul says in Philippians 3:10, he says, I want to know Christ. Isn't that your desire? I don't want to follow a religious system. I want to know him, right? And that's like an intimate knowledge, that word right there. I want to know him deeply. And I'm just going to put this before I read the rest of that verse. There is more of God to experience than you have already experienced. Amen? I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord. There's more of God to be discovered. And it's up to us. So Paul goes on. He says the rest of this verse, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, check it out, of sharing in his suffering. Why would you want that? He just wanted to experience everything about Jesus, becoming like him in his death. And I love this. And so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. I believe Paul did exactly what the shepherds did. They pursued Jesus. Amen. I want that. And my question for you today is, what are you pursuing? What are the things that you're going after that is pulling you away from Christ? Oh, well, I want this and I want that. Let me tell you, if you put your focus on him, all of that other stuff begins to fall into place. It may not be overnight because, you know, alignments takes a little bit of time sometimes. But I want you to know when you do, you're going to find your life beginning to work out better than you ever thought. Doesn't mean all your problems are going to go away. But guess what? You'll still have joy. You'll still have peace. You'll still have the things that God give us. So I'm just going to wrap this real quick. The hymn, Joy to the World, that we're going to close out with today was written by Isaac Watts about 300 years ago. And it's interesting because he doesn't look very joyful, does he? I don't know if it's the wig or the expression. You can't find a picture. I mean, they're not actually photos. They were paintings. And it's like, I don't know. I guess it was just easier to not smile than smile. I don't know. But here's the thing. What we don't know about Isaac Watts is that he had health issues all his life. And actually, he had one love of his life. She fell in love with his writings. When she met him, I guess he was too ugly for her. She didn't want to marry him. She's like, oh, no, I can't. Well, they were friends, but I'm not going to. So she got friend-zoned him. And that was his life, right? And he ended up dying. You know, he lived with people because his health was poor. But his reflection, had you realized Joy to the World was never meant to be a Christmas song? That wasn't. It was a reflection out of Psalms 98, talking about shouting to the Lord with joy. And as a matter of fact, it didn't even get put to the music that it is now until the song was written in 1780. It was 100 years later that it was put to music by Lowell Mason, and it was released on Christmas Eve, and all of a sudden it became a Christmas song. And the original words were, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. You know, we've switched it to the Lord has come. Because it was like, oh, yeah, he's already come. But how many of you know the original is like, he is still coming. Amen. Amen? We're not looking for just what he did 2,000 years ago. We're looking for his soon return as well. And not only that, how many of you know the Lord has come in our situation? Whatever things you're going through in your life, how many of you know I can say joy to the Lord? The Lord is going to come. The Lord's going to meet me where I'm at because I'm not at a good place. Maybe you're not at a good place. But you can declare joy to him because he is coming. I don't want to look back, just back, but I want to look forward as well. Amen. That's the good news. So if I can have everybody stand where you are, we're going to sing this song. But I want to pray first because maybe you've been struggling and you haven't had that joy, but you want to make a realignment today. How many of you know you can do that? And so if I can just have everybody bow your head where you're at. And if you're here to say, listen, I don't have a relationship with God, or maybe you did, but you've walked away from that, and you want to make that return to him today, I'm just going to ask you on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to have you come up here. Everybody's got their head bowed and eye closed. This is between you. But if you say, Pastor, I want you to pray, I want to make that decision today. If that's you, when I say three, I just want you to raise your hand, and then you can put it back down on the count of three. One, two, three. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are so good. Can we all just say this prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you for your patience with me, your love for me, that your love endures forever. And today, I want to put my focus on you. I surrender my life to you. Help me to live my life for you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Listen, if you need prayer after, I know Pat and Sean are here, and James and Robin will come up after, but we're going to sing Joy to the World. And I want you to declare it not just as a Christmas hymn, but declare it over your life, over your family. And let's sing that together.
Joy to the world.